Well, that sound means it's time to talk to the voice of the Jayhawks, Brian Haney. Every Thursday, brought to you by our good friends over at Anderson Insurance Agency. They do farm, home, auto, life, and crop insurance. Stop by, see Matt and Michelle, 118 North Mill in Beloit, or call them at 738-5701. I was over there last week, and Matt and I were talking about KU and about next year. And, you know, the best guy to talk to, other than maybe Coach Self himself, but this guy, Brian Haney, he talks to Coach Self all the time. So we're going to get the nitty-gritty on what this KU team could be next season, is the voice of the Jayhawks, Brian Haney. How you doing today on a Thursday, Brian?
Doing well, Wade. Thanks for having me on. How are you?
I am doing good. I'm a little bummed out about the Royals, but I'm not jumping off the cliff and panicking like some. It's okay. Just two games.
That's right.
I'm not concerned they're going to go 0-162, but until they get that first win, we're going to hold out hope that they'll turn it around. KU, let's talk about the men's basketball team first, and then we'll talk about football. And I've had a lot of people that I've been talking with recently, and Matt Anderson is one of them, a big KU fan, as you know. And we were talking about what KU will have back next year, or what will be coming into the system that we'll see on the floor for KU next year. And we talked about it last week, Devontae Graham's fee. We don't know what their decisions are at this point in time. But why don't you tell us a little bit about who we know is going to be on the team going into next year, and tell us what you think the prognosis is for KU basketball next year after the disappointment of the Elite Eight loss this year.
Well, I think the big one that fans need to start filing away in the forefront of their mind for next season is Malik Newman. And that comes from the fact that he's had an outstanding transfer season. Really, KU had the best practice squad in America this year, with he and Sam Cunliffe sitting out. Cunliffe, a top 40 recruit. Newman, a top 10 recruit. He was rated number 2 overall by scout coming out of high school. And so he's a big-time guy and never really hit his stride to the degree that many expected him to there at Mississippi State. Ben Howland maybe was playing him out of position a bit. But here's a guy that has really blossomed over the last 7 months on the Kansas campus. And Bill Self feels like he'll plug him in. And while he's a different player than Frank, he's not going to be a point guard like Frank. He can absolutely make up for a lot of the scoring punch that Mason, you know, will be leaving behind as a 21-point-per-game type guy. I think it's very realistic to expect 16, 17 points out of Malik Newman per game. And that's obviously saying something for a first-year guy. So certainly excited about that. Cunliffe won't be available until semester, as he transferred from Arizona State at semester last year, so you get him around Christmas time. And what a present he'll be. He's built kind of similar to a Svi, and you know, has terrific athleticism. A guy who's the son of a track coach, and if you want to check out more on him, don't take my word for it. Go to YouTube and watch the Sam I Am documentaries. There's about 3 or 4 of them that I know of. They're little 30-minute documentaries made about his recruitment, his climb within the Rainier Beach High School ranks up there at Seattle, and ultimately signing with Arizona State and then leaving Arizona State. And it's a really interesting introspective into a young man who is highly touted and yet still hungry, because while he's a blue chipper, he's not a five-star blue chipper. He's more of a four-star guy, and you know, still out there trying to carve out his niche. So I think those are two guys that Kansas fans have to be really excited about that you've yet to see. Now, Udoka Azubuike, obviously, is you know, first and foremost amongst the players this past season that you saw promise from, and now, you know, haven't seen since December, and you're wondering, what are we going to get? I don't know, because he's not able to do through anything contact-wise for another few weeks here. He just got the screw out of his wrist the day before yesterday, and really won't be able to turn it on and turn it loose until June. So it's been you know, a situation where he stayed in shape, and he's worked on other things with his game, but he's had a cast on that wrist, and it all stemmed from an injury that happened in practice where, as I understand it, his wrist and hand kind of got caught up in somebody else's jersey, and he tried to break free, and that's where you have the ligament damage. Really unfortunate, because not only could Kansas have used him, obviously, versus Oregon and throughout the second half of the season, but he misses out on, you know, essentially 6 months of time, development, practice. You know, things that for a young man who'd only been playing organized basketball for 3 seasons, that's a ton of time. You know, that's a sixth of his history of organized basketball that he's missing out on. And so I hope he has a productive summer once he's able to get back. but I think there's going to be some growing pains for him in his sophomore season. You just can't expect to plug him in and have him dominate when he missed that much time. But there's a huge ceiling there, and Bill Self has always said this is going to be an early entry draft pick because he's got that type of projectability. But might have two more seasons at Kansas before we see that. You know, who knows what this first full year of Udoka is going to look like, but he could project to be a starter. Billy Preston and Marcus Garrett are your two signees right now from the high school ranks. Preston McDonald's All-American, had 10 points in the Mickey D's game up in Chicago last week, and I think a lot of folks pumped about him. At the time he committed, he was ranked as high as 8th. Right now, latest ESPN projection I saw has him 20th. Still a five-star guy, though, and yeah, I think you really have to be excited about him as your one true headliner in the class amongst high school freshmen. But the total class includes those two kids I started with, you know, Cunliffe and Newman. And so there's four newcomers right there, that with Garrett being the other, a top 60 point guard, combo guard, really more so out of the Dallas area. But they're still trying to sign two or three more. I think that's what's going to be interesting in the coming weeks, is what can they get done to get a couple of additions. One in the post, and obviously they're trying to add another guard right now. And that's going to be interesting. I mean, there's guys that, you know, I can't talk about high school prospects working for KU, but there's a couple of guys they're in on that they'd be excited to get. But as Bill Self would say, they need to land a couple right now. And this is a pivotal spring for them, not knowing what it's going to look like with Svi and Devontae. Obviously, Mitch Lightfoot needs to have a big summer of development, getting stronger, getting better, all of that. But if you bring back both Graham and Makai Luke on top of the core that I just mentioned that's coming in, and a guy like Udoka coming back, obviously LeGerald Vick is there. There's a lot to like, and certainly no reason to think this team can't win its 14th straight Big 12 title. But there's some pieces that could still be coming in and a couple of pieces that could still be going out that you really kind of hold your breath on right now, and we'll know a whole lot more probably in about a month on what this Kansas team's going to look like.
You mentioned a lot of names there. One name that I didn't hear you mention is Carlton Bragg, and there have been lots of talk and scuttlebutt out there about maybe Bragg won't come back next year. I don't know if that's some KU faithful hoping he doesn't come back. I don't know if there's any concrete evidence that he may leave or not. I would guess it might depend on what they still do the rest of the recruiting period, but what do you know as of now with Bragg's future at KU?
I didn't omit him because I think he's going to be gone. I omitted him because I'm honestly not sure.
Yeah.
And it'd be interesting to see, you know, what decisions are made there and what decisions he makes personally. Obviously, here's a guy that was rated as highly as 14th overall by rivals coming out of high school. We've not seen him play to that potential, and he's had some concerns off the court that have been distractions. And, you know, one of them was drastically overblown, but a distraction nonetheless. And I think at the core, Carlton's a good kid. And I think, you know, that there's still hopes for him to start to show more than just flashes of that potential. Because clearly you saw it at K-State, you saw it at home versus TCU, you saw it in little doses here or there. Can you see it over an extended period? But, you know, he's also a guy that's a little bit more finesse than the typical Bill Self big man, and, you know, hasn't quite become all that he could be in that Bill Self big man mold. So I don't know what it's going to look like. I didn't mention him more than anything because I just don't know. Mm-hmm. You know, if right now he would project to be one of your primary rotation guys if they get who they're trying to get in recruiting, and if certain guys come back. And now, you know, we saw him as such as one of the first bigs off the bench, but Dwight Colby's going to be a senior next year, and I think there's high hopes that as he continues to get more and more explosiveness back, and if they can recruit another big alongside him, that you'll feel pretty good about what you have, you know, coming off the bench there. But honestly, without speaking out of turn, I don't know what to tell you on the CB front, but I do think he's a good kid. I like him, and I hope that things work out for the best in that regard. And if there's a chance for him to be back and be better and be on the climb with nothing but basketball in front of him and not having to deal with some of the other stuff that kind of seeped in a little bit this year and creeped into his focus and psyche, then I think everybody up here would be all for it. Because clearly he's got terrific potential. But you know, right now, I led with the six guys I did because those are the six guys we're thinking the most about.
Sure. No, I understand. Brian Haney, the voice of the Jayhawks, with us, brought to you by Anderson Insurance Agency. They do farm, home, auto, life, and crop insurance. Stop by, see Matt and Michelle, 118 North Mill in Beloit, or call them at 738-5701. I know you had a chat. I saw you have that on Twitter and social media with Coach Self recently, and one of the things that you discussed with him was Devontae Graham and Sfi and how the process works and this and that. What is kind of the timeline on that? And the reason I bring this up is KU, it seems to me from everything I'm reading and hearing from people closer to the program than I am, is that KU does want another guard, like you said. It sounds like the Trevon Duvall point guard, highly touted, is a guy that KU certainly would like to have. The thing is, if he would like to come to KU, he might hold off on his decision because he wants to know what Devontae Graham's going to do. And we see this each and every year when it comes to recruiting. Hey, I'm interested in these schools, but I got to wait and see who's going to declare and go to the draft, who's going to sign with the agent, who isn't, so forth and so on. What's the timetable for Devontae and Sfi in regards to making a decision whether they come back, and how does that make it more difficult for Bill Self and his staff to find their replacement if they're not, you know, comfortable? You mentioned Garrett coming in. He's a combo guard, not necessarily a pure point guard.
Yeah, you know, and as you well know, I can't talk about the kid that you talked
right.
about, but
sure.
There's definite connecting of dots on, you know, likelihood, as you alluded to, of certain options coming or not coming based on what's already there. And, you know, it's a situation where it's all going to play out really in the next 6 weeks. I think, you know, you have until the 23rd of this month to be an early entry applicant. And a couple of days later, teams can start conducting workouts and attending early entry player workouts. Then you have draft combine invitations by the end of the month sent out to these guys. Draft combines between the 9th and the 14th of May. And then after that, you got about 10 days to withdraw if that's going to be your best option. Draft itself is going to be on the 22nd of June this year, about a week earlier than what we're used to. But point is, by May the 24th, you'll know, and I would think you would know before then. I don't think it's going to come down to 11:59 or anything like that. You know, Bill Self has said that if you project to be one of the top 60 guys, then you should definitely give it a go in terms of the combine and you know, the possibility of being a draft pick, top 60 or 70, he feels. You should give it a go with the option of coming back if you don't grade out as highly or get feedback that you feel makes you confident you're going to be drafted where you want to be. And I think that's what Sfi and Devontae should do as individuals, and it's what Bill Self encourages all his guys to do. And that's one thing I love about Coach Self. You're never going to get advice based on the coach's own ulterior motives. He wants to do what's best for these individuals. Now, I think you can make a strong case that what would be best for a guy like Devontae is coming back, playing a year a little bit more on the ball and enhancing his stock in the same way that I think Frank Mason has. Not that he's going to be National Player of the Year, but I think he could come back and be an All-American. I really could. And I think right now in a deep guard draft, you know, he'd have a tall order in front of him to climb up the draft board, you know, to where I think he could be a year from now. But if all he's ever going to project to be is a two-guard at the next level, he's shown that clearly for 3 years and know what you've got there with a 22-year-old who had an extra year of prep school before coming to Kansas, so he's a little bit older, and that creeps into the decision as well. So I think all these are interesting, but we've talked before about the relationship with Devontae and Sfi, how close they are, and you know, I feel like if Devontae comes back, there's a good chance Sfi does too. I think both these guys, though, aren't in a position to just sit back on their laurels and feel like the hay's in the barn on their you know, draft status and stock and reputation. Clearly, they're nice prospects, but they aren't locks by any means for the top 30, certainly not that, and maybe not for the top 40. And so then you creep into that mid to back into the second round territory, and you wonder what could be gained by coming back. So, again, you're going to see it all play out in the next 6 weeks, and I think that the first thing they'll do is, you know, put their name in the consideration there, get information, have a chance to be seen, have a chance to get some feedback, and then make an informed, educated decision. And with that, I think you know, there's a chance that hopefully Kansas gets them both back. But then again, they may lose them both. And then at that point, boy, does it ever put more pressure on landing some of the guys you're talking about, which, you know, in one case, you're talking about one of the most hotly contested recruitment still going. So it's going to be a very interesting month here. And, you know, if things break the way we hope they will, as you just saw Joe Lunardi the other day projecting Kansas in his way, way, way too early bracketology. They're a one seed.
No way. No
way. Yeah. Shocking. So, yeah, let's hope that's the case.
Yeah, absolutely. And that we can get all the way to the Final Four with that number one seed. Brian Haney, our guest today, the voice of the Jayhawks. Okay, so somebody sent me a text, a KU fan, wanted me to ask you this. I think I know the answer to this already, but I'll go ahead and ask it, but I'll rephrase the question. On a scale of 1 to 100, or shall I say 0 to 100, what are the chances that Josh Jackson comes back for a second year at KU?
You know, this is not something that I've talked to Coach Self at length about. In our last interview, the one that you referenced, he said, well, I'm not going to announce to Josh, that's his news, but it would obviously be a shocker if he came back. The kid is projected as a top three or top five overall pick, and he's a year older, too, and so I think, you know, the time is probably right for him. But I think the Kansas fans are wondering, geez, why haven't we seen an announcement from him when I'm seeing all these other guys in Kentucky and UCLA and all this announcing much quicker with their early entry and all that? Personally, I don't know this for a fact, but if I had to guess, I would think part of it is they've been really busy on the Frank Mason trophy circuit. They're in L.A. today getting set for the Wooden Awards ceremony, and I think Josh is a classy kid, and he probably doesn't want to steal any thunder with his announcement from what's been a really cool week and a half for Frank Mason here. So that's not to say you should expect something right away tomorrow or first thing over the weekend or Monday or something. I don't know. I don't know how that's going to unfold. I really am not privy to that conversation at all. But I would still think, you know, you're talking in the 90 percentiles there to answer your question directly that he's going to leave. And it would be, as Bill Self said, a real shocker, stunner of the century if he came back. But he does like it here. He clearly enjoyed the coaching. He came to a school where he knew he'd be coached up hard and wanted to be better, and he's gotten way better. But I think it's time for him to probably take flight, as much as Kansas fans selfishly don't want to hear that. But I think the realistic thing is this is a top-three pick, and Bill Self will likely tell him, son, you know what, if this is your dream to play in the NBA, it's high time to pursue that dream.
Okay, speaking of Coach Self, he is a member of the latest class that will be inducted in the College Basketball Hall of Fame. I know you've talked to him. You do a lot of the time, not all the time, of course, but you talk to him each week, I think, on a regular basis. Obviously, he's talked about how it's a tremendous honor and everything else, but what does that mean for the university, and what does that mean for Coach Self being in the Hall of Fame at the age of 54, which is pretty young?
It is. Terrific accomplishment. And in terms of what it means for the university, I mean, obviously he's a great recruiter without that next to his name, but it's nice exposure in a pivotal spring that we just laid out for getting some yeses, that he's got that going on. To say, hey, John Doe, sorry I didn't call you back yesterday, I was busy getting my bust made for the Hall of Fame. Not that he would say that, but the point is, you know, that this type of publicity is awesome publicity, and it's a great thing. And clearly, he's a Hall of Fame individual, too. You know, he's an excellent game coach, terrific player developer, terrific recruiter, but really a great individual on top of that. The things he's done through his Bill Self Assist Foundation and with Coaches versus Cancer, which he just got an award for over the weekend at the Final Four, obviously speak for themselves on the total package you get with him. And so we've known he's a Hall of Famer since early in his first couple of seasons here at KU. We knew we were dealing with a Hall of Fame five-star coaching talent. Now you just have the legitimate place there at the Naismith Hall of Fame in Springfield to back it up. And I just couldn't be happier for a terrific man who both professionally and personally has meant so much to me, and can't wait to watch this thing come to fruition here now that it's official.
Okay, one question about football before we let you go. Spring football game's coming up. Where we sit on the quarterback situation for Coach Beatty?
Well, it's been a great spring in terms of the competition between Carter Stanley and Peyton Bender, and I think that right now, from what I've heard, and I only get to watch the first 15 minutes of practice as we get set for game week next week. I'll be able to watch some more practice then. But everything I've heard from those that have seen stuff is that both have been impressed. That what you thought was the scouting report on Peyton Bender has run true, that the ball kind of jumps out of his hand, and there are some throws he can make that I'm not sure anybody else on the roster is making, at least not with the regularity he's making.
And I think for those reasons, you got some real excitement there. Now, having said that, Carter Stanley's gotten better from the quarterback we saw impressed at the end of last year. And he's not going to give this thing away just because there's a guy that used to be a Washington State Cougar coming in, got some hype and excitement around him. And I think that breeds nothing but good, positive contribution and competition from both these guys, sharpening each other, pushing each other. And if ultimately the bigger upside guy is Bender, maybe that's who we see run out there for the first game in the fall. But I honestly don't think you're going to hear anything announced until we get into fall camp in the month of August. It would surprise me unless just something dramatic happens here in the next couple of weeks. Because keep in mind, they'll practice a couple of more times even after the spring game on the 15th. It would surprise me if you got any kind of declaration of a starting quarterback. Because I think Coach Beatty likes these two pushing each other. And, you know, my higher upside guy right now, just based on what I hear, might still be Bender narrowly. But I tell you what, Carter Stanley is certainly impressed, and he's taken this thing as if it's his job to lose, because it was at the end of the season, and it is right now, and he's handled it terrifically. So really pumped to see what comes of that, but I think it's a battle that will wage on for several more months.
All right, and time for off-the-wall question for you, Brian. You maybe heard, it's made national news, journalist at Pittsburgh High School there in Kansas. They investigated and found out that the principal they hired had some fraudulent things on their resume, discrepancies, and that person now has resigned. It's something adults should have done, but the students ended up doing their job. So my question for you is there ever a point of time in your life, maybe when you were growing up or now in your adulthood, that you've tried to become a private eye, an investigator, something you really were trying to delve into to find out about? Maybe it was about the person that TP'd your house back on Halloween. I don't know. But were you ever the role of an investigator at any point in time and you remember it?
I don't know on investigator. I think for those of your listeners that are still single, when you first, you know, get interested in somebody, you might see if they have any Facebook pictures that are a little bit not what you'd want to date. You know what I mean? Making sure that they're not too wild and crazy. Or maybe you do a Google name search just to make sure nothing pops up of an old headline or something like that that might not yield the most compatible romantic results.
Yes.
But beyond that, I'm not really in the hiring business myself. I have a couple of student announcers that I get to mentor and coach up, but I'm really not in the position where I'm looking at candidates and that kind of thing to do much research or private eye stuff. I used to play a lot of fantasy sports back in the day when I still could, and I guess I you know, dug into their statistical histories pretty deep on trends and facts and figures statistically, but nothing like that, my friend.
If you look up a gal that you're going to possibly date and you Google her name and it brings up 5 arrest records, probably a good idea to stray away from that and investigate somebody else, I would imagine.
That's a definite deal breaker, right?
Yeah, exactly.
No doubt, man. I'm not a Casanova like you, though, that already has the wife on.
Oh, you're
a 5-star recruit right out of the gate.
Well, my wife's a 5-star recruit, and she settled for a 1.5-star guy. But that's that just
no
means
way,
I was
man.
Convincing, man. I was convincing is what that means. I was a good salesman.
Well, very true, but you're also very self-deprecating and humble. Great guy. It's fun to be on with you, man.
Thanks, buddy. Take care. We'll talk to you next week.
Sounds good.
All right. That's the voice of the Jayhawks. Brian Haney, brought to you every week by Anderson Insurance Agency. They do farm, home, auto, life, and crop insurance. Stop by, see Matt and Michelle, 118 North Mill and Beloit, or call them at 738-5701.